Thank you. Good morning. Morning. Good to see you today. I'm excited that there are muffins here. I would not say that, Claire. That is not something I would say. Calling me out publicly like that. Everyone on the live stream is now filing complaints to the MCF webpage and website. We don't call it webpage anymore, do we? It's good to be here this morning. We had an awesome night at youth on Friday night. We talked about baptism in the Holy Spirit, and we created a space for Holy Spirit to move, and the youth worship team did so well in creating an atmosphere of encounter. And as we encountered God, and young people were experiencing the presence and power of God, some for the first time. And it's so beautiful when, you know, you see someone encounter the presence of the Holy Spirit for the first time, and there's no like history there. It's not like they know what to do. It's not like they know how to receive. Like for the first time, it's that innocent, sweet touch of the Holy Spirit. And it's so surprising and so eye-opening for someone the first time they encounter the Lord. And we've got testimonies coming through, and people have been sending through testimonies of things that happened when they encountered the presence of God. And I love it. It's beautiful. And I don't know if you've been a Christian for a long time or if this is your first time ever in church. So welcome if it is, or if you're watching online, if this is the first time you ever tuned into a church service. But I want you to think about this morning, if you have experienced the presence of God, if you have been walking with God for a little while now, what was it like the first time you did? But not only that, where would you be if you didn't? Like, where would you be if Jesus didn't come into your life? Maybe you've been a Christian all your life. Maybe you were a baby and, you know, you've been raised in a Christian household. And that's awesome. That's an amazing testimony. Imagine what could have happened in your life if you didn't have godly parents. But maybe that's not your story. Maybe you went astray, or maybe you were out searching for truth, or you were out searching for joy and satisfaction, and you were going in the wrong places, but then you encountered Jesus along the way and he brought you into the family of God, into the church, and you've got all this new hope for your future because you can see that God has a plan and purpose for your life that's good. And that's awesome. And I want to reflect on that today as we talk about this specific topic. And today the title of my message is Inches Close to Breakthrough. Inches Close to Breakthrough. And I want us to remember some of those things. Where would we be today if it wasn't for Jesus? And one thing I love about what's happening around the world today, not that I love all the things that are happening around the world today, but one thing I know for sure is that as darkness tries to increase on the earth, the light shines so much brighter. And the Bible says where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. And so when I see the enemy really stirring up around the world, and I see the enemy really trying to bring fear and torment on people, or destruction or chaos in people's lives, or in countries, or in communities, or in families, I get really excited because I know that he wins at the end of the day. Jesus, of course. I know that Jesus has the victory. And so I'm thinking, like, if that's the enemy's game plan, which is kind of like pretty hectic and looks quite confronting, how much more powerful is God going to top this? Like, how is God going to top this one? Because he always does. He makes all things work together for good. So I get excited about this stuff. And I'm a little bit weird now because now I've become a bit of a delusional optimist. And it's awesome. I love it because I'd much prefer to be a delusional optimist than someone else. And I see bad things happen around me, and I know it's not all the time, but it is a lot of the time where I'll see something bad happen, or I'll realize I've got no money in my bank account, or something will happen where I'm like quite confronted by like shivers, like reality's really hitting me right now. You know what I mean? And I go, "What are you gonna do, God?" Because I know he makes all things work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And so I just believe that God's doing something. And I think something that I've learned along the way in this journey of walking with God is I've learned that I can't rely on a pastor to pray for me all the time. And I can't rely on a Christian friend to be there for me all the time. The reality is friends are going to let you down sometimes. Church is going to sometimes let you down. Someone's going to offend you sometimes. But Jesus is always there. And we need to learn how to make connection with God outside of church so that when times get tough and your friend doesn't pick up the phone or the pastor doesn't reply to your text, you know who to go to. You know where to find your source. You know where the well is that never runs dry. And so something I've learned along this journey is that there are certain tools that the Lord gives us and certain activations and things that the Lord teaches us through the scriptures on how to confront darkness when it comes our way, how to confront heaviness when we're feeling weighed down, how to confront attacks of the enemy or spiritual resistance, and how we can approach that in a way to experience the breakthrough maybe before we see it in the physical realm, that we can have a spiritual breakthrough that then transcends into a natural and into reality. And so there are these things that happen in our life. And one of those things that I've learned in the scriptures that is so powerful is the power of praise. It's the power of praise. And I love that song, Victory Shout, we did earlier. Did anyone else like that? The first song we kicked off with today was Victory Shout, a song that Beck and Opelia have been writing, and it's awesome. I love it. Stepping into freedom, marching into freedom, lifting up a victory shout. You know, oftentimes in the Bible where you see shouts and proclamations of praise, it's not always on the mountaintop. Sometimes it's in the valley. And Opelia shared so beautifully about that when he's talking about the walls of Jericho and how Joshua and the armies are marching around the walls of Jericho. And on day one, I guarantee the armies weren't feeling like 100%. I guarantee they were feeling a little bit awkward. They probably felt a bit of shame because as they're marching, doing their thing in silence, the people inside Jericho would be looking over the walls going, what are these lunatics doing? Like, they don't look like they're ready to fight. But they kept marching day one, day two, day three, day four. And eventually they lift up a shout of praise unto the Lord that shakes the foundation of the city. And the walls come crumbling down. Day one, it might've looked a bit strange, but by the end of the days, there was breakthrough. And I want you to understand this morning. I want us as a church to understand this. And you know what? This is a type of message I'd love to preach every year is the power of praise. Because, you know the age-old saying, you can teach a man, you can give a man to fish and you'll feed him for a day, but you teach a man to fish and you'll feed him for a lifetime. Do you know what we're saying here? And it's like, you can come to church and say, well, I just want to get fed today and I just want someone to bless me today. Or you can actually learn how to implement these tools into your life and have a connection with God throughout the week, and then you've got food for a lifetime. And so this morning, I want to talk about the power of praise, because I don't just want to give you a fish, I want to teach you to fish. I want to teach you how to praise God in a way that when heaviness comes upon you, you don't fall into depression, but that when craziness comes against you, you don't lock yourself in the room and have a cry, but you can actually lift up a shout of praise unto God and believe for breakthrough in your situation. Because things actually change when we praise. Things actually change when we praise. I know from when I was younger playing football, that rugby league, of course. It's North Queensland. I remember when playing footy, that oftentimes the match could be won within the first 15 minutes. Within the first 15 minutes, the morale of the team could really determine what's gonna happen for the rest of the game. There were some games where we walked in our team, I played for Brothers Bulldogs, Mackay, go Brothers. And we'd get onto the field, we'd start playing, we'd get through the first a few lines and we'd be there and we'd get a try, and then all of a sudden, the other team, the opposition, just started smashing us. Our dudes are getting injured. They've got some big players in their front row and our guys are walking off injured, and they were clean tackles. They weren't bad tackles, but the players were playing a little bit dirty and it's starting to get a bit intense. And all of a sudden, the morale of the team starts to drop and we start to get a little bit fearful that although we got the first try, now these guys are really putting the heat on us. They're really putting the pressure. And that team is really, now they're breaking through our line of defense. Now they're trying. And the whole morale of the team drops. And instead of cheering each other on and exciting each other and patting each other on the back and moving forward, we actually submit to the pressure that the opposition's putting on us. And you know within that first 15 minutes, now we're done. It's what the game is already over because the morale of the team has fully fallen. There are other times where we have played games and in the match, we might be losing by a few points, but the sideline is ging us up. There's the aunties on the sideline saying, "Get it, Jimmy!" You know, and there's the dads on the sideline saying, "Head up, son, run it straight." You know, and the people are cheering out on the sideline and they're cheering on, "Brothers, brothers, let's go, brothers, let's go, boys." And we're getting all excited. And you know what? Even though we're losing, the morale of the team, we look at each other and we're like, "Yeah, we can do this." And something's built within us. And it often happens, and that kind of represents a little bit about praise. Because when opposition comes your way, what's your immediate response? Do you submit to the fear and the opposition that's coming your way? Or do you build yourself up in the Lord? Or do you begin to proclaim that victory is yours? Even in the face of opposition, we would lift up that victory shout. That we'd be like the auntie on the sideline yelling out, "Go run it straight!" And so I think in this sort of time that we're in this season that we're in as the church globally, with the opposition that is out there in the world, with the opposition that is out there trying to attack marriages, with the opposition that is out there trying to attack the youth and the next generation, with all the fear and the lives that are plaguing social media and the news right now, I believe as Christians, we can't submit into defeat, but we need to actually take the front foot and go, "You know what? I know who has the victory. I know how this story ends. I'm going to lift up a shout of praise in the middle of my circumstance." We need to be people of praise. And so this is an everyday thing, but I also believe this is a thing for now. It's a now word for the church. And so let's look at this. A few weeks ago, I shared a message on worship. And we talked about worship and how beautiful worship is. And there's a difference between praise and worship. It's very similar. It's a very amazing thing that we get to connect with the presence of God. But there's a difference between praise and worship. And one of the quotes that I shared the other week was that worship is giving God the glory as you see the glory in Him. Worship is giving God the glory as you see the glory in Him. But worship is so much more than that. Literally, it means to bow down. The word worship in the Bible means to bow down. And worship isn't necessarily the slow songs, but it's taking your mind and subjecting it to the truth and actually taking your mind and posturing it below your heart and giving your heart unto the Lord. That in the midst of confusion or in the midst of overthinking, that you could posture yourself and bow down humbly before the Lord and worship. But worship is an internal heart posture. Praise is an external expression. Okay, the difference between praise and worship. Worship is an internal heart posture of bowing down in humility before the Lord, to worship the Lord. Praise is an external expression. It's an expression. There's about seven words in the Bible for that one word praise that we translate in English. And this is why it's so confusing to read the Bible just as it is. It's not so confusing, but we can miss it unless we study it. We really pull out the real meanings. And there's seven words for that one word that we call praise. Some of them are this. There's the word halal, which maybe you've heard before. I love a halal snack pack from the kebab shop. So good. It's a praise snack pack. Try that next time you order. So halal is a word for praise. It means to dance around crazy like a wild man. That's like literally that word means to dance. It means to express yourself wildly unto the Lord, to dance and to praise God. There's the word tamar, which means to play the strings. There's the word yada, which means to bow low. There's the word barak, which means to shoot up your hands, to lift up your hands. And so when the Bible talks about praise, it's referring to external expressions. That worship is an internal engagement, but praise is an external expression. And so the question is, can you praise and worship at the same time? Absolutely, you can praise and worship at the same time. We do it most Sunday mornings when we sing these songs. It's of praise and worship. But it's not all about songs. And it's actually about engaging with God, posturing your heart, and then praising Him is expressing that with your words, with your movement, with your love. I think of David. And I pray that this doesn't happen in church today, And thankfully, I don't see Ben Patterson here this morning. He's the only one crazy enough to do it. But I think of David and how David would, he stripped himself and he jumped in front of the people and he started praising God. Why? Because praise actually requires you to be a little undignified. It actually requires you to take your eyes off yourself and put them onto the Lord. You actually can't truly step into praise when your eyes are on yourself. You have to have your eyes on the Lord. And I know there's been times in church where, you know, we've been praising and worshiping God, and I've just felt like a beautiful piece of the Lord. And I'm just looking unto Jesus, and I'm enjoying His presence. But there's been other times where I felt a little bit of heaviness. And I thought, you know, I need to break through this because this is not the portion that the Lord has given me. He has not given me a spirit of heaviness. And so I just begin to praise, and you know, those songs come on. A song like Victory Shout comes on. And I just want to move a little bit. I just want to dance. I just want to clap. I want to sing. I want to praise God. And as I begin to do that, I feel something shift in my heart and my spirit. It's actually a promise in the scripture. It's a promise in the scripture. We'll get to that in a moment. So this morning, before we go any further, why don't we just ask the Lord to do something in our heart and show us something new about praise and maybe identify some areas in our life where we've chose complaining rather than praising, or where we've spoken a negative word instead of actually speaking the victory of Jesus Christ. And let's posture our hearts this morning to receive. And then at the end of this service today, I would love for the worship team to come back up and lead us in some victory type of praise, amen? And let's bring breakthrough in our church. Let's bring breakthrough for the person sitting beside you today. Breakthrough for our city, breakthrough for our country and the nations of the world. Let's lift up a shout of praise this morning. So let's begin to pray. So Lord, we just thank you. I thank you, Jesus, that you are not a God who is too far away. I thank you, Lord, that we can connect with you, that we can engage with you. I thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit here in the room today. And God, I pray that you would do something in our hearts, that if anybody be here this morning feeling heaviness or feeling burdened down by life, I pray that the spirit of praise would come upon them, that they would jump out of their seat and they would walk into breakthrough in Jesus' name. We love you, God. And everyone said, amen. Amen, amen, amen. And so I want to read to you a story this morning in the book of Acts 16. And before we go there, and this is a really a short message today on praise, and because praise is simple, it shouldn't be complicated. I just want to share with you how beautiful and how practical this is. Recently, at the start of the year, I was in the Gold Coast and I was staying at a friend's house. And these friends of mine have two sons, and one of their sons is 15. And one night, on the second night that I was staying with him, he came downstairs and he was sitting there listening to me and my mate talk, and we were just chatting about God and all the miracles that we've seen and the trips that we've done and the travels we've done and what God's been doing. And we're having a great time. We're laughing. We're enjoying the testimonies. You know, we're enjoying the spoils of war, and we're sharing about what God's done. And his son's kind of sitting there looking real like downcast, like looking real like just bummed. Something's wrong, you know? And the dad turns to him and says, what's wrong, son? And he goes, I don't know, I just don't feel right. So what do you mean you don't feel right? He goes, I don't know, I'm just not in the mood, eh? Like, I don't know. And he's like, do you know what's wrong? And he goes, I don't know what's wrong, I just feel a bit depressed or like upset, or I don't know. And he's like, did something happen? Did someone say something to you? He goes, no, I don't know, I just don't feel up for the day. And he goes, sounds like heaviness. He goes, yeah, I feel heavy. You know what the dad said to him? I love this. Remember, teach a man to fish, you'll feed him for a lifetime. And the dad says this to him. He goes, son, maybe you're just feeling heaviness on you. You know what you should do? Go upstairs, go to your room, take my Bluetooth speaker, turn it on, put your favorite three praise songs on, the fast songs that you want to declare the praises of God in, songs that excite you about what God's doing, songs that help you fix your eyes on Jesus. Put your favorite praise songs on, come back in 15 minutes and tell me how you feel. You know what the son did? He said he trusts his dad because he's seen his dad model it in his own household. He's seen his dad get stressed. He's seen his dad become downcast, and he modeled it in his own household. So the son goes, all right, I believe you, Dad. I'll give it a go. So this son drags himself upstairs, closes the door, cranks the praise music up. We keep having our chat. he comes downstairs 15 minutes later with the biggest smile on his face, this 15-year-old boy, and he said, "Son, how do you feel?" And he goes, "I feel amazing." And he said, "Why?" And he goes, "Because I just took my eyes off myself and I remembered how good God is, and I didn't even know why I was upset anymore. I don't even remember why I was upset anymore, but I'm just excited about Jesus, that he lives in me." And I'm like, whoa, that hit me so hard. It hit me so hard. Because I got young people that come to me and share their struggles, and I try and give advice and I pray for them, I try and help. But I thought, how powerful will it be if the Church of Jesus Christ recognize they can go straight direct line to Jesus? They can go straight into the presence of God. And instead of processing your problems with a friend, you can actually, before you do that, you can go straight into the presence of God, processing in the presence, and actually lift up some praise and see a shift in the atmosphere. And the atmosphere's heart began to change. And I thought that was beautiful. So here's a scripture for us today that we can read about this praise. And in Acts chapter 16, you might want to read along with me in your Bible, because I don't have the scripture on the screen this morning. In Acts chapter 16, it's the story of Paul and Silas, and they've been filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're outperforming miracles and preaching the word of God. And I'm going to kick it off in chapter 16, because there's some interesting things that happen here. And it goes like this, Acts 16, verse 16. "Once, when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, 'These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved,'" or are proclaiming the way of salvation in Jesus Christ. She wasn't lying. She was telling the truth. But she was saying it so much that it became like a mocking sound, like, "These men are telling you how to be saved. These men are servants of the Most High God." And she repeated it and repeated it and repeated it, until eventually Paul and Silas get a little bit upset with this woman. And it gets a little bit frustrating. And these men were so bold that they were out on the streets. They were proclaiming a truth that was not heard before. They were declaring Jesus Christ is the only way in which you can be saved. That you're not going to be saved by doing the law. You're not going to be saved by your own good works or performing more sacrifices or attending more church services. Or you're not going to get saved by seeing a fortune teller or by going to a medium or a psychic. It's going to give you a temporary fix, but it's not going to change the eternal destination of your soul. It's not going to change the chemistry of your soul. You need Jesus. And they're proclaiming this truth. And this woman's walking around mocking them because they're speaking a truth that's contradicting to what she's been telling people. And the story goes on like this in verse 18. "She kept this up for many days. And finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, 'In the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of her.'" She's following them. She's mocking them. And he turns to this woman, he's had enough, and he said, "In the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the Spirit left her. These were not magic words or a special prayer that caused the demon to leave her. It's not the words that he said, but it was the fact that he had a relationship with God, that greater was he that lived in him than the spirit that was in the world and the spirit that was in the woman. And he spoke from a place of authority, the Spirit left. Verse 19. "When her owners realized that her hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, 'These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or to practice.' The crowd joined in attacking Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods." This is pretty intense. "Stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God." Now, you've probably heard this story before, and we often share it in church because it's so powerful that these two men have literally been beaten up and flogged by people in the city. People turned against them. So they're beaten up for proclaiming hope, for proclaiming truth, and people didn't like their truth. And sometimes us Christians, we're scared to talk about God at work because we don't want to offend people. Or, I don't mix religion and work or religion and politics or all this sort of stuff. It's like, it's not about religion. It's about a relationship with the one who created you and the one who created them. And so here they are, beaten, bruised and battered, thrown into prison, feet are in stocks. And the thing that they do, instead of complaining to the other prisoners about why they're there, they start singing praises unto God. I find it a beautiful reminder and quite challenging when I read it. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Verse 26, suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that shook the foundations of the prison as they were praising. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. And obviously, if they had escaped on his watch, he would be dead. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here. We haven't run away." And the jailer called for the lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul and Silas said, "Get yourself right. Come to church every Sunday. Make sure you don't treat your kids poorly. Make sure you don't put the finger up at anyone when they cut you off in traffic. Never swear, stop smoking, quit drinking, and you'll be saved." No, he doesn't say that. Although those things are good, this is what Paul and Silas say. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in his house. Their praise didn't just lead to their breakthrough. It led to the breakthrough of those around them as well. And sometimes I read this scripture, like every year I get around to reading this scripture in Acts, because I love Acts, it's my favorite book in the Bible. And I get around to reading this scripture and I'm actually challenged because I wonder if my complacency and my laziness and my shame is actually limiting someone else in our church family from experiencing a breakthrough. I wonder if maybe me limiting myself in praising God on the front row because of a little bit of shame or awkwardness is actually causing someone behind me to feel like, "Oh, I really want to praise God, but I just don't want to look awkward as well." But I start praising, and then maybe someone else starts praising, and then maybe someone else starts praising, and maybe in the spirit realm, when I start lifting up shouts of victory, it's heard in the other spheres around Mackay, and other people start lifting up a shout of victory, and the enemy starts freaking out because our sounds become louder than his. That our truth has become louder than his lies. And so breakthrough isn't just for you, it's for those around you. It's not just for those who deserve it, it's for those that are in prison and don't deserve it. There are people that are bound up in brokenness, in shame. And they're waiting. They don't know what they're waiting for, but the Lord is waiting for us to lift up a better shout, lift up a better sound, to proclaim a better word, to declare the praises of the Lord. So in wrapping up today, and I'd love for the worship team to get ready and come and join me up here. There's a few revelation points that I draw out of this scripture. One of them is this, that praise positions us for breakthrough. Doesn't position God for breakthrough, but it first positions us for breakthrough. Complaining tightens the chains, but praise positions us for breakthrough. Our praise is not dictated by our feelings, but our praise causes heaviness to lift. That when we feel heavy, our praise causes it to lift. There's a promise in Isaiah that God says, it says that God promises to trade beauty for ashes, joy for mourning, praise for heaviness. So I read that and I believe that, okay, there's this promise that if I'm feeling heavy and I begin to praise God, a spirit of joy will quicken me. The spirit of joy will quicken me and awaken in me. That I could choose to submit to heaviness, or I could trade my heaviness for praise. I could choose to feel heavy and want people to feel sorry for me, which I've been there and I've done that, or I could trade it for praise and a spirit of joy could come upon me and I could awaken. And just like my friend's son, as he did that, he traded his heaviness for praise in the presence of God, and joy filled his life. Praise positions you for breakthrough. The other thing I realized here is that praise paves the way for God to break in. Praise builds a bridge for God to come rushing in. When Paul and Silas are in that prison, it looked like there was no hope, but their praise opened up and lifted up to the Lord. The presence of God filled the room. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. God inhabits the praises of his people. So when we praise, God fills the atmosphere, he fills the room. Praise paves the way for God to break in. The last thing I realize in this scripture is that praise actually requires action. I can't praise God with my hands in my pockets and my mouth shut. That's not praise. I can worship like that. I can posture my heart and worship. I truly can. I can adore the Lord. And I can love God and I can worship from that place. But that's not praise. Praise requires action. The Bible says, clap your hands, O you people. Shout unto the Lord. Turn up the strings and the instruments. Praising unto the Lord. Pastor Ben Naitoko says this, I love this saying. He says, praise is only 3 inches above your head. It's only three. Joy is only 3 inches above your head. Breakthrough is only 3 inches above your head. All you need to do is get a little bit of bounce in your step. Begin to clap your hands, oh you people. Lift up a shout of praise unto the Lord. Paul and Silas, I don't think they gave lazy praise. I think the type of praise that shakes the foundations of our world is a praise that is undignified. It's a praise that's broken free of shame and it's lifted up to the Lord. Would you stand with me this morning in this place? Before we go any further, one of the biggest things that holds people back from praising God, it's not that they don't want to, but it's oftentimes that we just feel shame. We feel shame. But here's good news for you if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. When Jesus endured the cross and he hung there up on that cross, the Bible says that he takes our sin and our shame. And so there's a transaction of faith when you believe in Jesus where you can say, you know what? I'm not gonna choose to have shame anymore. I'm gonna allow Jesus to take that. I believe that he's good to take my sin, but I also believe he's good to take my shame. You know, he was stripped, he was beaten, he was spat on, he was tortured, he was mocked. They put signs around him to tease him for what he had said. He took on all the shame so you don't have to bear it and so that you can praise freely. He's a beautiful Lord and a wonderful Savior, and he's willing to take your shame. And I know that the biggest breakthrough from fear and shame comes when we actually choose to trade heaviness for praise. And so this morning, we're gonna have some time to praise. This morning, as we praise, I want you to think about this one thing. I was talking to Louis earlier. We were saying, what do you think about when you praise God? And you know what I think about when I praise God? I think about where I'd be without him. Just like we said at the start of the message today. God, where would I be without you? I was hanging with the wrong crowd. I don't know if I'd be alive. I don't know if I'd be in prison like one of my mates from school is. I don't know if I'd be in church today. I don't know if I would have a good relationship with my family today. If it wasn't for the Lord coming into my life, where would you be? Where would I be? Where would you be? From that place, you can lift up a shout of praise. You can lift up a victory shout and bring breakthrough. So this morning, why don't you lift your hands? I wanna pray. And then after prayer, I would love to invite you to get out of your seat, come down the front, let's have some fun, let's praise God. Let's get those inches of breakthrough. 3 inches above your head is joy. And so, Father, we thank you this morning. We love you. I thank you, Jesus, that just like Hannah shared about communion this morning, I thank you, Lord, that you commune with us, that you have come into our lives.